Dear friends, we're very pleased to have Brother Don Horion with us to lead our study. And we'd like to just remind you, brethren, it is very helpful to the one up front if you will give your name first. Sometimes in conducting the study and trying to gather all the thoughts, we can forget the name. So please help Brother Don out in that way. And we're going to quote Brother Edmund Jesuit, who said the best answer is to give them. You have to be bright, be brief, and be gone. So please, there's a lot in this study. Just make your comments nuggets, if you would. Brother Don.
Thank you, Brother John, and Brother Jim, and all my dear sweet singers of Zion. That's one blessing of being up in front. You get to hear all the brethren sing and see their faces, and you are the Lord's special treasure. And we want to hop right into the study, and one of the things we want to kind of do, we'd really like to get through the first portion of it there as quickly as possible, just to get a good idea of how earnest mankind is of striving for the prizes that they see and what kind of attitudes they have in it that might be good lessons for all of us in the narrow way, and what things do they do that would not be good, and it'd be the things that we're actually striving against and fighting for. And so we'll start right away. First question is, what is fighting? And Brother Jim has a microphone, and Brother Danny has. Brother Danny?
Yeah, Brother Don, fighting is to battle or to contend or seek some kind of prize or something worthy to a quest. But I wanted to mention there was a time when there was no fighting. And that was that short period in the garden. And when they were expelled, then battle began against insects and battle for fighting the thorns and thistles, and even the brute creation had a change, and they were going after each other also. So this contending for comfort, for food, and then there was strife even against one another, the man and the woman, and the family strifes. And so it just kicked off a big battleground, which is earth.
Very good. Thank you, Brother Danny. Any other definitions of fighting? And appreciated Brother Danny bringing up some of the things that people are fighting for. There should be a huge list, actually, as you look at mankind and the things that may be their hobbies that they may become obsessed with and that kind of thing, that they're fighting for those things as well. And there's all kinds of deterrents that we might have in the narrow way as well when we start thinking about the things that mankind chases after that benefit us later. In Webster's, we appreciated, and Brother Danny mentioned contending, and he says, contending in battle, striving for conquest. That would be a nice thing on fighting, and he mentions conquest as the act of conquering and implies or includes taking possession of. So you're trying to gain or take possession of some prize. So that's what mankind's doing. What is a soldier? Don't all answer at once. I have one over here.
Mary Ellen Batchelor from Orlando. A soldier is one who fights against or for something.
Very good. Thank you. Any other thoughts on a soldier? Two over here.
Ramona Hill from Atlanta. A soldier is one who's enlisted in the battle.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. And Brother Craig, by the way, do state your name and ecclesia, because the brethren online probably can't see you very well and may not know who you are. Go ahead, Brother Craig.
Brother Craig Chamberlain, Akron, Ohio. So A soldier is a highly skilled and highly disciplined member of a unit that is designed to accomplish some sort of specific purpose, normally with fighting, but we also see soldiers being used today in humanitarian efforts, which is a nice thing to see.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Brother Craig. And I think it was mentioned before, Salvation Army. That's really the idea there. And it's a good idea. Any others? If not, then what is prize fighting? Might define prize first. One in the all the way in the back there, Brother Dan.
Sister Joni Roos from Sarasota, Florida. According to Webster, prize fighting, a professional boxing match, and from the American Heritage Dictionary, a match fought by professional boxers for money. So for some in the world, of course, they fight for money. For us, it is a much greater prize.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Sister Joni. And Sister Linda?
Sister Linda McClugan from the Muhammad Ecclesia. Also from Webster, we looked up just prize, and that was that which is taken from an enemy in war, any species or goods or property seized by force as spoil or plunder, or that which is taken in combat, that which is taken from another, that which is deemed a valuable acquisition, that which is obtained or offered as a reward of contest, the reward gained by any performance, any valuable thing gained, to set or estimate the value of, or to value highly, to estimate to be of great worth or to esteem.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Sister Linda. That was very comprehensive. Let's see, we'll have Brother Lou, and I can't see. And then Sister Joni, and then we'll go to the next question.
Brother Lou Garrison, Salem. Basically, you know, prize fighting. When I think of prize fighting, I think of fighting for an award to be the best.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you.
In regard to the prize, Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And in the margin of my Bible, the prize is the personal satisfaction of having attained it as well as the reward, glory, honor, and immortality. And for us to hear the well done and to see our Savior face to face.
Thank you, Sister Joni. And in this section here, we'll try to keep it with mankind, but it's really good, and I quoted the scriptures in the study, too, that apply to the new creation. But as we're looking at mankind, I appreciate your comment there, Sister Joni, because the prizes that mankind is running for, they're esteeming highly as something to be attained and desired. And with that, one of the easy examples, I'll say, from the reprint article was starting and running a business and thinking about that as a prize to be attained to. And so our question there is, how can starting and running a business or most of the things that men do, so we think about the other prizes they may be running for as well, how is that considered to be fighting? See, they're not. We're talking about a fighting here that is not fighting with weapons that you usually think about in a war. So that starts to put us in the direction of what we want to look at for the new creation. So in things that you may be doing to start and maintain a business, what kind of fighting do you have to do there? Sister Joy up here in front.
I'm Sister Joy Blackman from Salem, Oregon. And I was thinking it really is a struggle in the social arena, isn't it, to have a place of influence. And to start a business now, there's a lot of competition out there. And it's a struggle to the very end, really.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Joy. And if, Brother Lou, I think, up here.
Lou again. Basically, if you start a business, you want to make it profitable. If it doesn't, if it's not profitable, it will fail.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you, Brother Lou, and Sister Melissa back there.
Sister Melissa from upstate New York. Basically, starting a business is like treading water. You're fine as long as you keep doing everything. As soon as you stop, you go under.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. Sister Melissa has experience, too, as Sister Joy does. We have Brother Craig and then Sister Judy.
Brother Craig from Akron again. One of the things that has been traditional about business is business has been looked at oftentimes as warfare. And the idea is your competition is the enemy and you are going to do everything you can to win at their expense. Mm-hmm. The nice thing is that we are seeing a major shift in the way profitable businesses are run, and that is a strong sense now of collaboration and helping one another. I wonder where that concept comes from. But anyway, that the cutting-edge businesses that are doing really well today are implementing that type of thing and are even going beyond win-win. They are going beyond, I want to see you win, and in the end, it will come back to me.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Brother Craig. And Sister Judy?
Sister Judy Garrison. Am I on?
Intermittently there.
I was thinking plan to work and work to plan, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And also that can entail a lot of sacrifice and long nights up, and so you're doing a lot of hard work to do this. Mm-hmm. That's fighting.
Right. Yep, very good. Yeah, that was one of the particular things. Sister Joni back there in the back. That was one of the particular things we want to look at is how much effort that mankind, almost without thinking, puts in to run a business. I mean, long hours, you wear yourself out, you're just about done. You think about the President of the United States, 2 years, the guy looks 10 years older. And so the kind of efforts that go into various things like that, mankind are doing these things on a regular basis, day by day. And Sister Joni?
Yes, Sister Joni, Bruce from Sarasota again. All that's been said, of course, and I just wanted to add, my son Troy has a business in Sarasota, and since we have moved down there and actually live in the middle of the nursery, I see how hard he works. That is a big part of it. You have to be wise in bringing in the plants and trees that people want and are willing to pay for, as well as having a team that works together. That I can see how important that is, to have employees that work together, and part of it is keeping those employees happy, letting them know that they're appreciated, and therefore then the end result, of course, is to your benefit. But not only pleasing the public, but letting your employees know that, and in our case, of course, helping our brethren and working together. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Sister Joni. I have to admit, when I was thinking about the study, I wasn't really thinking of so much of the competitive side of it, but of the effort and striving that people put in for their businesses and for if it's a house they want or a big family they want or whatever, it's the children, whatever, that everybody is striving to get. Whether it's a car, an airplane, a boat, or, I mean, all of these different kind of things, or the positions, various positions of honor that people strive for. I wasn't actually thinking about bumping other people out on the way up there, but that's a whole part of the earthly part, and I appreciated that from the Muhammad study there. There seemed to be quite a bit on that side of the picture, which made me feel even better about the questions, because the object of the questions here, as we'll get further in them, is as you're kind of it's taking you down, because nothing's for sure. Brother Ed, and then we'll go to the next question.
Brother Ed Heidelbach from the Berean Bible Students of Michigan. One thing that hasn't been mentioned, I was thinking about that, the business that I had, and it's really understanding the wants and needs of your customer. If you don't understand that, you're going to be you might be heading in the wrong direction. So on the positive note, it's really getting to know who it is that you're going to deal with or you're going to sell to, and understand what their wants and needs are.
Very good. Thank you, Brother Ed. And we'll move to our next question then. What are the kinds of weapons that are normally used for this type of fighting? So you're thinking about people going into business or any other aspect of what they might be doing. What weapons are they using in their warfare? Sister Judy over here.
They have to keep careful account of their money in, money out. And I'm not good in numbers. So I don't know if that's called credit and debit. I don't know. But you just have to be a very strict bookkeeper. So you have to know how much money you have on hand to spend.
Right. And you have to know how to do bookkeeping. Very good. And Brother Ed?
A great communication network. A telephone, computer, all those tools to communicate to your customers and who you're dealing with in a business, but you can also make the connection to the spiritual realm too, and which we'll get into.
Very good. Thank you, Brother Ed. Any others? Brother Lou?
A good personality, a good character. People appreciate that.
Very good. Yeah, one of the things we were thinking about is integrity. And in the world, the lack of it that we see is just awful. And Sister Joy, I believe, is next. Did you have another comment?
I kind of maybe misunderstood the question. I thought you said what kind are normally used. A lot of times it's selfishness and bitterness and carnal weapons, but I think the truth, well, I know the truth had an influence on my husband, because he always tried to even share with the other lumber yards if they didn't have it, and always took a personal interest in the people that come in, their customers, and that's so much better way. It benefits not only us, but them too. So we don't want to use carnal weapons ever, do we?
Right. And appreciated going into the lumber yard. We usually go there once every time we go to Salem for something. So we appreciated the character of the people at your business back there, too. And it rubs off. And see, people that are selfish, that rubs off. Their employees act that way. And then they're not treating their customers right. Any other thing. We'd like to read one scripture on there. If somebody would like to get Galatians 5 verses 19 to 23, and this kind of summarizes, I added 22 and 23 on there of how people should act, and so we can think of that about our walk in the narrow way and the fighting that we're doing contrasted with the ways of the world. Did someone have that scripture?
It's in Phillips. The activities, you said from 19 to
23.
I'll have to read to 25 because I can't tell where 23 is.
Okay. No problem.
The activities of the lower nature are obvious. Here's a list. Sexual immorality, impurity of mind, sensuality, worship of false gods, witchcraft, hatred, quarreling, jealousy, bad temper, rivalry, factions, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. I solemnly assure you, as I do before, that those who are indulging in such things will never inherit God's kingdom. The Spirit, however, produces in human life fruits such as these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. And no law exists against any of them. That might be the end of 23. Is it? Okay.
Yeah, thank you. So let's go on to our next question then. What prizes are sought after in business? We'll say outside of the business being successful. That, of course, would be the whole idea. Sister Joni, back there.
Well, in the world, they not only seek for financial success, but the honor, the affluence, place in society, their influence. And we have seen in this day in which we live, where nothing is hidden, we have seen those that were high up come falling down because they will stoop to being dishonest and lying, cheating, whatever it takes to maintain that position.
Very good. Thank you, Sister Joni. And any other comments? We think there's all the various jobs and businesses and people wanting to have those positions, and that is one of the things that usually if someone goes up to a higher position, someone else loses out. And so you have all of those things with respect to business too. And, of course, money is a big thing, that if you have a successful business, then you can buy anything you want, all of that sort of things. So who promises them their prizes? This comes to be really significant when we talk about the new creation, but for the world of mankind, who promises them their prizes? Brother Harry, back there.
Nobody. No guarantees at all.
Very good. Thank you, Brother Harry. Sister Joni?
Like Brother Harry said, there's no guarantees, but the promises come from those who are like them, who walk in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, reveling, banquetings, and abominable idolatries.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Joni. And brother right here.
Steve Cavanaugh from the Central Kentucky Bible Students. One of the things, I think it's a great deal of the promises Satan-backed, because if we look at Christ in temptation, he says, if you bow down and worship me, I should give you all of these things. And I think that has kind of flourished in today's world, that people think the higher I climb up on the ladder, then all these things are going to be mine. So I think it's basically because of selfishness and the fall of mankind, it's Satan-backed.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Absolutely. The liar and murderer from the beginning. Thank you. And Brother Rick?
Appreciated the text you had on the previous question. I think it also applies here. It says, disputings of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And the phrase that got our attention: supposing that gain is godliness. The brethren here were talking about the reward is being pushed by the adversary. And I think we are all familiar probably with hearing the church nominal preaching the gospel of wealth. If you gain earthly riches, it's because you're doing the right things and God is blessing you. Mm-hmm. In spite of what our Lord said, and our Lord was the one who had no place where to lay his head.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. And Brother Jim?
Well, being around businesses for 55 years, you enter into a contract, so there is a potential promise, okay, of that if you do thus and so, they will do thus and so. But as mentioned this morning, the reward or the gaining of that is uncertain. Mm-hmm. See, so, but there is a promise there, but will the promise be? That's right. The main thing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Brother Jim. And we'll move on to our next question. One thing we thought there too was Satan in the Garden of Eden. What did he promise to Eve? Eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God's withholding you from information, and you do that, and you'll be smart just by eating the fruit. She got smarter, all right, not in a good way. And then what sacrifices do men make to gain these prizes? Sister Linda?
This is from the pastor in the sermon book, page 755. To gain these prizes, the majority are willing to sacrifice almost everything of virtue and character, time, energy, relationship, and communion with God, and even life itself. The majority of people suppose that the wealthy attain their stations by partly dishonorable or disreputable means. Some such thoughts add to the general discontent. And then we were thinking of the example of Balaam, when the reward was offered to Balaam if he would curse Israel. He was willing, in order to conform to the evil proposition, both in spirit and in intention.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Sister Linda. And we'll just, on that one, Sister Linda mentioned most of what I had on my list. I think I had talents, integrity, morality, and families and friends. They're willing to sacrifice all of these things for their goals. And then who helps them attain to their prizes? I think we that's been pretty well covered. Ones that have the same goals, they're encouraging them, and also the adversary. And as an example, by Job's comforters, you know, they were trying to tell him, well, if you were just right with God, you would have all of this. Well, the end of the story was, God got done talking to Job, he talked to Job's comforters, and he said, you are wrong about me, and you haven't talked right about me as my servant Job has. Go get seven animals and sacrifice them and have Job pray for you, and I will hear him. So we just realized there's the worldly idea, and Brother Russell said the ministers side with Job's comforters, and we find that to be true. So then, let's see, the next one was, who judges whether or not they shall attain their prizes? Brother Lou? Good. Thank you, Brother Lou. Any other comments on that? Sister Joni?
Well, I was thinking of the Olympics, and so it would be the worldly minded, other children of the evil one, and those who do the same things that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Sister Joni. Oh, just a little help for everyone on the microphone. If you keep it really close to your mouth, hold it pretty much horizontal, and then that way they won't have to have the volume up very high back there, and that'll stop the feedback. Let's see, any other thoughts on that? It's definitely not God telling them, but the judgment on the system was from God. They did not properly judge themselves, so God was the judge there ultimately. And then how satisfied are they if they attain their prize? And we'll throw in the next part of the question too. How long does that satisfaction last? That's a big factor when it comes to the new creation. So let's see, we have a sister there.
Julia Beeble from Chicago. Most are never satisfied, and if some are satisfied, it's for a very, very brief period of time on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. And Sister Joni?
Well, we know that wealth is easily lost, and therefore is an unsure foundation. Death is the final result. And in Ecclesiastes 12:8, the warning of a life misspent in self-indulgence, there will be many days of darkness. Joys will not come easily. They must be wrested from a puzzling and futile life.
Thank you, Sister Joni. And another in the back there, Brother Dick.
Well, this isn't part of your question, but it maybe some of you remember Clark Clifford. I think he was Secretary of State high up in the government. The thing that he wanted back from the Senate during that hearing was his good name, his reputation. And I think that's one of the last things the world is willing to give up, is mm-hmm. the reputation. But our Lord made of himself no reputation.
Very good. Thank you. And any other comments? Brother Ed?
Oh, I remember an expression a manager once mentioned to me as a young person. He gave me a small increase in wages, and I thanked him for it. He said, "Oh, you don't have to thank me." He says, "You earned it." And he says, "Besides that, you will find in life that the more you get, the more you want." The implication being you'll never have enough. You'll never be satisfied. So how long does the satisfaction last? Well, the world pursues all of these things that they're going to accumulate for the golden years. And the golden years develop into years of rust. And physical things enter in. You can't enjoy all this accumulated wealth in many cases, and so it goes to naught. And statistics are now showing that the highest disillusionment state amongst age groups is in the seniors who take their life, because is this all there is? Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be more. The next highest is the younger generation coming up, who look at what the seniors and middle class are striving with, and I say, what can we get out of this world? There's no satisfaction here. So I think the world is learning a very, very hard lesson.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Brother Ed. Brother Rick and Sister Linda back there.
Proverbs 27:20. The eyes of man are never satisfied.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Brother Rick. And Sister Linda Larson there.
I was just thinking while we were talking about Donald Trump, this man is a millionaire, and now he's got anything any human being could want in a material way. Now he's not satisfied. Now he's going for power. And Solomon told us what the end of it all is. It's all vanity. There's no satisfaction in this world.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Sister Linda. And So that pretty well covered our Ecclesiastic 6:7, 12:8, and 12:7, which is they return to the dust in the end. And so there's the earthly promises and prospects before people, and not very happifying. Now let's switch gears. What is the prize set before us? Now we have joy. Sister Joni?
Well, we know that is a prize. And it's even eternal life on the divine plane, heirs of all that was promised to Abraham. We have the real prize to look forward to.
Very good. Thank you, Sister Joni. And anyone else? Brother Rick?
Well, I think the scriptures you have listed here, would someone else read those, are excellent. They tell us exactly what our prize that is set before us. But it also helps, I think, to hear someone who is especially in a position to give an answer as to what the prize is. And that's the Apostle Paul, when in Romans 8:18 he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now think about it for a moment. What made him especially qualified above anyone else? He was the one who had the glorified Lord revealed to him. It blinded him. It took a miracle to recover. But he got just a glimpse. So here's an eyewitness. The only one we know of, I think. Seems to me like his word is pretty good.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Brother Rick. And Sister Sandy?
Yeah, Sister Sandy Martin, appreciating the scripture, James 1:12, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And I appreciated this reference. It's the reward of life, and this life is on the highest plane. It is the crown of glory, because it is the reward which brings immortality, given to the more than conquerors, the crown or pinnacle of all life, the highest crown, and it fadeth not away.
Very good. Thank you, Sister Sandy. And let's see, Brother Larson.
Yes, Brother Dan Larson from Chicago. I think one of the prize of his is to be part of God's personal family. And that's something that you just can't even imagine what that is going to be like to be and to work with our Lord and the rest of the 144,000 eternally. These are things that just boggle the mind because we are human and we can't fathom an eternity of being with God and personally communicating with Him. And that's just something that you stop and think about what it means to have to be in the office of the president. If you were brought into that office, this is something that's very small in comparison when you talk about the creator of the universe. Mm-hmm. And to be in his personal family is just beyond shadow of a doubt. It's something that we just can't understand, but we accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Thank you. We know not what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what do we get to do? I think maybe Sister Sandy answered a little bit there, the Galatians 3:8, if ye, or 3:29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, which is, in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What a privilege that'll be. And we were thinking, too, about coming into the presence of God. Remember the scripture, I can't remember how it goes, but God will sing. That'll be a prize right there. Can you imagine? You've heard beautiful voices of people singing, but that'll be something. And we're looking to and appreciated Brother Ed's discourse, the Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that's a wonderful thing too, having the mark of perfect love. And that's to be attained as rapidly as possible, because then, having done all, we're to stand there as well. And, Brother John?
I just, you mentioned in regard to heirs of Abraham, and I think what's so beautiful there is Rebecca only inherits because she marries. And so we inherit all with Christ. And Brother Russell's comment is that the church alone is his companion, his confidant, his bride.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Brother John. And Sister Joy?
And Brother Don, kind of along that same line, I was thinking that prize that sets before us was exemplified in our Lord Jesus, wasn't it? And we think of him as our exemplar. And he was an inveterate foe to sin, and we want to be the same, and we want to be faithful unto death. And to think that he gave an eyewitness to his ascension of the 11 apostles, and so how we want to be faithful, because we know in a twinkling of an eye we'll be there if we're faithful unto death. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you, Sister Joy. And another scripture we had on the study was the Romans 2:7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. All right, this is sounding pretty far out there. Let's see here. Next question is, who sets this prize before us? There's our answer to whether it's far out there or not. Sister Rosemary?
I have Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his pleasure. Yeah. And also I was thinking that we know not what awaits us. And also, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Sister Rosemary. And Sister Linda. And then...
I always appreciated this from the pastor, and it was in a very early reprint 31. He says, did you ever think of that? Called to be sons and daughters of the loving God, adopted into the family of God, with Jesus as our elder brother, to share with him all the glories of the heavenly kingdom. Ever think of that?
Thank you, Sister Linda. And Brother Harry?
Yes. Well, it makes me think of Leviticus 8:26 and the consecration of the priesthood, when on top of the flesh of the ram of consecration, there was an unleavened cake mingled with oil and the wafer. And the wafer represents the exceeding great and precious promises, including the promise of the divine nature, which we will use to bless all the families of the earth. And Moses is the one who's putting it there, picturing God himself. God puts it there, which we are to wave. We have to claim. We have to claim it and say, God put it there. He put it there for us when we made our consecration. It is there.
Thank you, Brother Harry. So not only do we have the privilege, thank you, Brother Jim, of running in the race for the prize of the high calling, but it's for an absolutely good and wonderful purpose. Blessing all the families of the earth and then all creations all over the universe after. So, Sister Cher?
Hebrews 5:4, who sets the prize before us?
And no man taketh this honor unto himself. He that is called of God, as was Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. And now, if we do what we are told, are we guaranteed to win the prize? As we looked on the earthly portion of it, there was no guarantees of anything. Brother Rick?
Or did you
have a comment on the other?
Yes, I did. I was just thinking, as the brethren had mentioned, the purpose of being there for blessing others. Mm-hmm. What did our Lord say? It's quoted in Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So, if faithful through all eternity, we get that blessing. What an awesome thought.
Yeah, very good. And the only nature that can keep giving without losing life itself. And any... Sister Mary Ellen?
Mary Ellen Batchelor from Orlando. I was going to answer on the third question about if we do what we're told, we are guaranteed. Yes, we are. And Revelation 2:10 tells us that. And when the Lord promises something, we know from past experiences that it is fulfilled.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Sister Mary Ellen. And we have another Sister Linda.
I just want to insert a little thought here. Doing what we're told is not enough. The Jews were given a law to do as they were told. They couldn't succeed, but we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So it's an internal work, not just an action. And if we submit to that burning off of the dross, to the burning of the flesh, then we will be guaranteed. So there's a little more to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, actually, we're told way more than what's in the law to the nation of Israel. We're under the law of love and have to develop to the fourth quarter mark, as Brother Ed brought out really nice to us. And Brother Steve, is it? Yeah.
In 2 Peter 1, he says, whereby we are given exceeding great and precious promises, by these we'd be partakers of the divine nature. Then he gives the add to your... faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. But in the 10th verse, he says, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fail.
Yep, very good. Thank you, Brother Steve. And Brother Ed?
Brother Ed Heidelbach from Breen, Michigan. We were thinking of that scripture, by grace ye are saved. And Brother Ross taught us that there's nothing we can do, but it's great. The grace is the fact that we have the covering of the robe of Christ's righteousness. He provides what is necessary, and if we do those things, then we are guaranteed.
All right, very good. Thank you. And Sister Judy, and then Brother Rick. I think it's over here. Oh, Sister Linda. Okay. Sister Judy first.
I would say being obedient with a whole heart. So you could do what you're told, but if your heart's not into it, you're not going to get the reward. So there first must be a willing mind, but you have to do it with your whole heart.
Yeah.
You sign the contract, fulfill it.
Yeah. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my way. Very good. And Sister Linda, and then Brother Rick.
Brother Don, your comment reminded me of the scripture in James 1:12, the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Very good. Thank you, Sister Linda. And Brother Rick.
And we need to remember who it is that's promised, and what does he say? Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. to us. Wow.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Brother Rick. And Sister Joy?
Brother Don, I was looking for another scripture, but I found the two of them in the meantime. Oh. One's in Isaiah 65:9. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah. The inheritor of my mountains and my elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And then 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Mm-hmm. So those who are faithful, who don't render evil for evil, that will be faithful unto death and inherit it.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Sister Joy. And Sister Joni?
Sister Joni of Sarasota, Florida. I never met Brother Colliman, but I heard him on tape, and I'll never forget how he said, someone from the Truth was talking to him, and he said, and if ye be Abraham's seed, then are ye heirs of the promise. And he says, I jumped out of my chair. And I think that's how we all feel. We just want to jump out of our chairs when we think about the promise. And in Philippians 1, verse 3, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. And Sister Linda?
Just wanted to add my lifeline, Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And with all my constant failings, I appreciate this so much, because the one thing I know that I can do is not give up. I can be stubborn, and I want to be stubborn for the Lord and hang on tight. And I just do that with white knuckles, because I'm so grateful for this scripture, that it's such a comfort that I might actually have a chance.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. And what we've been hearing is a whole bunch of exceeding great and precious promises. And that by these ye might become partakers of the divine nature. What's that mean? Without them, we can't. So, and the faith and trust we can have in our Heavenly Father, when I did a study on I will as a phrase in the Bible, which appeared there 1,916 times. That's not counting the addition of God said, the Lord said, will I not, and so forth. There was over 2,500 in just doing some searching, and it's almost always referring to our Heavenly Father. And most of those are already fulfilled. So guaranteed His promises will come true. So in our next hour, then, we'll go ahead and start with whose soldiers are we? That would be a good question to start with. We'll turn the meeting back over to Brother Jack.
Thank you, dear brethren, for that active participation. Thank you, Brother Don, for leading the thoughts.